All right, episode 10. How's it going? This is another edition of Mr. Z and Fifth with your host,
Mr. Z.
And this is Fifth. Today we have a special guest today, our brother, our friend. You can hear him on our album, The Example.
Yeah,
he's
man.
He's featured on tracks, Cold World Chapter 2.
Fishes of Men. Yeah.
Mediterranean Sea.
Mm-hmm.
He also produced, engineered the project as well.
Mastered, yeah, man.
His brother goes by the name of CinemaScapes. How's it going?
Welcome,
hey,
CinemaScapes.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
All right.
Woo.
So, I know we said a little brief things about what you've done on our project or whatever, but there's more things we get into. But I'll let you introduce yourself to the audience for those who don't know who you are.
Yeah. My name is CinemaScapes. Been an MC, like underground in New York. I used to go by the name of Static Stress and Truth is Christ. Really was more of a street MC before I stepped out, went to audio school, started working on the engineering side, writing, producing, did a little bit of ghosting, but not too long, like a year or two in the industry. But worked for a lot of people, do some A&Rs. Engineering, production, just stepping in the studios a lot, you know, a lot of freelance work. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much how I've gotten around, because I like to be independent by choice.
That's what's up.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm also with that too. I'm independent by choice as well. Another thing we have in common, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it goes. So, today's episode is going to be a very interesting one. Very interesting one. This is probably the first time for those who've listened earlier 9 episodes. We've talked more so on a political side, community side. We talked about more social issues. Kept it in entertainment to some degree, but we haven't gotten deep into music per se. Although we did kind of touch upon music before
a little bit, but not much.
And that episode 8.
Episode 8, yeah.
And what our kids see.
What our kids see, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to talk about hip hop. The title of this show is called Hip Hop for Sale.
Mm.
Now, we do this, so this is nothing. Oh, this is nothing new for us to talk about. I'm actually excited we're talking about this because we waited just enough time to get to this type of topic.
Yes.
So I want to first give you the floor, Cinema. So this is what I'm going to ask you, because we're going to do it like this. So as we look at hip hop today, but then we look at hip hop in the past, is it safe to say, as far as exposure, that hip hop is in a better place in terms of it actually surpassing any other genre as far as popularity? Like, for instance, hip hop is actually the number one genre right now as far as streams and listens and consumption. I think if we were talking like the late 70s, early 80s, we probably would never thought this would happen.
Right.
The only problem is that we look at where hip hop started. Hip hop started, we would say, just like how jazz and R&B started. There was a, I guess you could call it a renaissance, but it was organically started in a, I guess you would say, culturally a black community per sense.
Mm-hmm.
But has it necessarily benefited our community from a business side? Because if it did, then I guess our communities financially would look more, they would probably be rich when you think about it.
Yeah.
So
right.
Is hip hop, as far as exposure, is it better today as it was in the beginning? And if it's not better, explain. If it is better, tell me what your take on it.
Hip hop, as far as exposure, you know, it's popping, but basically the people who do it no longer benefit from it.
Right.
Mm.
It's in a place where it's lucrative. It goes platinum. Number one, it's easier to produce. You have to deal with less people. You're not dealing with a whole band, a bunch of musicians. You're not cutting the pie as much. You're usually cutting the pie between artist and producer, which is simpler. Mm-hmm. It's simple. It's less people involved in the process. Making, you know, me working in a studio with a band when you do a band album, you're spending more time.
True.
It's and not necessarily more time putting the album together, more time on tracks, getting the band on the same page, more rehearsal time, because you're not, and then you don't have a couple of producers crafting a beat, which, you know, is making music and all those things, but it's simpler.
Right.
And so basically the turnaround for making an album, the cost is lower. Mm-hmm. And so with a higher profit margin, as we get into it, we'll discuss how other genres have taken the hip hop production model and used it for other genres.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's extremely profitable. Mm-hmm. The shame about it is that it's not profiting where it came from.
There you go.
As much. You know, people like Naughty by Nature and people who gave back in the community.
Yeah.
You'll see it in some places, right, but not as much as it should overall, because basically as the generations went, more people weren't interested in that.
That is so very true.
Very true, yeah.
Let me hand this over to you, Zacchaeus. Yeah, same man. Question. What's your take on it?
Man, I've seen hip hop evolved. I've seen hip hop. I'm going to speak on it because, I remember falling in love with hip hop during the late 80s, early 90s, into the mid 90s. You know, the, 1994, 1985, late 1985, 84. And going into the early 90s and the mid 90s. That's what you call the golden era of hip hop, for those who don't know.
Yes.
What I feel today in my heart, I feel that it was, they took it and different people kind of took it. And when we say hip hop for sale, meaning that they
sold out.
They sold out and they mm-hmm. made into, what you call today, what people refer to as mumble rap. Now, the gift of hip hop is lyricism. It's all lyricism. It's form is the era of the boom bop. That's what hip hop is all. Boom bop is dancing. It's style. Now, when you change the whole format, and like some genres don't change, some genres, no, they keep in the same format. They keep in the same kind of flow. If you know what I mean, they're keeping the
country
same kind of,
may be a good example.
Yeah.
To some degree. But even country's country, been influenced by hip hop.
Yeah. And I believe that every genre has been influenced by hip hop. Some way or somehow or some form. But the credit, what's so sad is that the pioneers are not being credited. Sometimes the pioneers are not being recognized. Sometimes
Kool Herc.
Kool Herc. You know, the ones started in the Bronx, Boogie Down Bronx, Kool Herc. Yes. Yeah, Furious Five and Grandmaster Flash, and Curtis Blow. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, and they know it and they feel it too. KRS-One knows it and he feels it too. You know, a lot of MCs, like, I mean, I'm talking about the MCs, like true lyricism MCs. Didn't I say hip hop was dead at one time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
album titled that.
Yeah, an album titled that. So it's when he says that, he comes out with that and he says that, it's like, I can see where he's coming from with that. Because when we sold hip hop, it's like in a way we sold our soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Yeah.
We sold our soul, man. I mean.
No different from R&B, which originally was rock and roll.
Right.
Different from jazz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No different from any kind of music that was created by people of the African diaspora.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, mm-hmm. because I think what it is this, and I'll get into how my take on it is. When it comes to, all right, here's the thing. It's one thing to be within the culture. Now, when I mean within the culture, I don't necessarily mean black per se, because mm-hmm. you have people who are not black who have grown up in hip hop culture, who are very important to hip hop culture.
Latinos,
you know, and some white people, like, for instance, I don't think any of us would argue and say Beastie Boys are not hip hop.
No.
Beastie Boys is definitely hip hop.
Hip hop. Third base.
Right.
Custom pay. You know what I'm saying?
We would say.
Yeah.
That Beastie Boys is hip hop.
It's hip hop, yeah.
Even though they had You Have the Right to Fight to Party, that was rock. But that was still, they're still hip hop.
Still hip hop. They're considered hip hop, right? Yeah.
And respected as hip hop. The thing is when you have some people who will come into an area that they have no knowledge on, then they say, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to market this. The thing is when they market it, they only market from the view of how they want to make money off of it, not as far as being accountable for it. And this is right. Why you have certain artists who content wise, they say things that we would say are destructive to the black community. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that get the push. But the voices like Mos Def and Talib Kweli are the ones that get silenced.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. That's my beef with hip hop labels being corporate and being owned by people who are not even within our culture. You see what I'm saying? If you're going because to me, if you take something like, I have a question. Could somebody outside of country music, and this question is going to go to you, Cinema, too. Can somebody outside of country music walk into an office, okay, and say, I want to buy this?
No. They'd be like, no, this is, no.
They wouldn't, I don't think they would sell it to
them. They wouldn't sell it to them, no.
I'll give you
a tangible example that you see.
Mm-hmm.
Every country artist on The Voice who makes their audition, who right. do they pick? Blake.
Yeah, they and do I, pick the, that's true.
And I like, and you know me, I listen to all genres of music.
Right, you do.
I like Blake Shelton.
Right.
But it's like, if I'm going on The Voice and I do a country song and that gets me in, I love Maroon 5. But right. if I'm country,
right.
I'm going with Blake.
Right. Yeah.
There's people who think outside, but that's far and few, the majority. And that's just a practical example.
Yeah.
That we see. We just saw it this season.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who watch The Voice, well, that makes sense because I've every now and then caught a glimpse of The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily watch it, but the ones who came on there singing R&B, they mainly picked Alicia Keys. Well, that makes sense because we look at the groundwork of what Alicia Keys has laid for her career and the artists before her. And Alicia Keys is not some pop star. She actually has content, right?
Right.
So if I'm an R&B singer, I'm going to pick her as the mentor. That doesn't make sense. I'm going to pick her.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, yeah.
You're right. If I do country music, I'm going to pick Blake Shelton or Garth Brooks, whoever the heck was on that stage.
Right.
So, I mean, that makes sense. But I guess the point I'm making is they would not allow somebody outside of the culture of metal, of country, just come in and just buy it and then just do whatever they want with their artists without the artists having some type of problem with it. I don't see that happening. I don't see Dolly Parton answering to somebody who knows nothing about country, but tells her, oh, trust me, I'm going to take care of your career. She'll probably look at that person and be like, what, are you kidding me? But in hip hop, it seems like in hip hop, they accept that. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's how people really accept anything. That's the thing, you know. And this is why some people, they kind of like, pull away from it a little bit because they can feel that you sold your soul and now because remember at the time I remember the time they had X Clan and they had Brand Nubians and
yes.
they had you know and it had artists that was very conscious artists you know the name Kyrus One was one amongst one of many you know we got Public Enemy. You know, he got a lot of them, you know. I can name a whole fleet of conscious artists.
Can you name a time? I'm going to flip this to Cinema real quick. I'm going to get back to you, Zacchaeus, because I want y'all in on this. Now, Cinema, can you think of a time where there was a conscious era?
Yeah. And that's when black owners were still running the labels.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Before, and then a lot of these are subsidies of major labels now.
Yes.
But you don't see the country guy. Big and Rich started a label within country. Mm. You know, they made Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. You know, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Right. Yeah, and they bought out artists. They still tour as artists, but did they give up their stuff?
No.
They're not going to give that up. And so when you have X-Clan and all those things, who was running the labels? You know, you had, Andre Harrell running something over here. You had Russell running it over here.
Yes.
These guys, and see, when these guys get older, are the next generation, like our counterparts, are their children going to take up what their parents did? Can't blame the parents for wanting to retire. It's time for them to retire.
Yeah.
That, they're not to blame.
Yeah.
Who's the next generation to step up to continue this work? Because if nobody's not, I have to sell this off, because you have to have a future if you're my children anyway, regardless.
I think a lot of us got caught up with the money situation, because I used to hear this. I even heard this back in, as far as the Bling Bling era, 1998. Mm-hmm. Conscious don't sell, sex sells. I used to hear comments like that, oh, he's a conscious artist, or he ain't gonna go. He'll only go about so far. This is like way after Wu-Tang. This is after Wu, and this is after, this is, I'm talking about, this is 1998,
even 1999. Even during Wu-Tang, they had a lot of pushback as far as their content.
Yeah, so it's
but then again, remember how Wu-Tang started? They were, they started on Staten Island.
Yes.
You remember Genius's single? He was lyrically killing it.
Yes, he was.
He was dressed like Kwame.
Yeah,
because that's how they marketed him. Yeah. And then he took that money and started a studio on Morningstar Road on Staten Island, where we're from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then they got noticed because they did what they wanted to do. And that's what it's probably going to have to go back to. I'm going to have to stay independent underground, do what I want to do, prove this is profitable so I can bring it back in the mainstream.
Yeah. That's what needs to be done in hip hop, because you think about who. This people like you hear, go on YouTube and you hear people like who's running hip hop now, and a lot of people coming out with saying, well, Illuminati.
Yeah, which Illuminati is basically another word for white supremacy. That's all that is.
Exactly.
And we've said that from
and
the beginning.
We sold our souls to the devil, man. That's why the content is the way it is now. I mean, you very rarely hear artists bit large up to J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar for keeping it real, and Nas just keeps driving, and the lyrics like keep it conscious, Talib Kweli, and who's still saying, listen, I'm a lyricist no matter what, I forgot what artist said this particularly. He said, if you want to do that mumbling stuff, make that a different genre. But keep the lyricism. This is what hip hop is all about, lyricism. But if you want to do that mumbling, make that a different genre. Cause please.
So I'm gonna get back to that in just a second. So we talked about a conscious ever, right?
Yes.
I would say that the conscious ever was
1980.
I would say 80s.
80s, yes.
I would say, let's put it like this. Technically, hip hop started. Mm-hmm. Conscious per se, but as far as the actual conscious era, because even in the beginning you had
Big Daddy Kane.
You had conscious, no, before that.
Yeah.
You had The Message.
The Message. That's a conscious record. The Message.
First off, it's their biggest record. It's Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Biggest
record. Mm-hmm. And it's one of hip hop's biggest records ever. Mm-hmm. Along with Rapper's Delight with Sugar Hill.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any debating that, right?
When it comes to
hip hop songs ever.
Those are the biggest songs right there, man. I mean,
Rapper's Delight was a fun song, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
We had that in hip hop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then we had the message, which was conscious.
Yes.
The point I'm making is there was a balance that we had back then that we didn't see that we don't see today. And then we move into what we would call a conscious era, where you had Rakim.
KRS-One.
KRS-One. And you had X-Clan.
X-Clan, yeah.
These guys
Coogee
were.
Rap,
these,
Coogee,
exactly.
Yeah,
these guys.
Intelligent Hoodlum.
Intelligent Hoodlum. See? Yeah, exactly. See?
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm
YZ
saying?
YZ and all of them, yeah.
We had a conscious era. Then we had, like you said, the conscious era was actually before the golden era, although consciousness was still in the golden era.
Yeah.
Right. And then after the golden era, you had kind of like a genius era.
Yeah.
Where the emphasis was more put on imagery and word schemes and wordplay and lyricism, even more than it was in, I would say, the era from 91 to, from 89 to 94.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. Ghostface. Before I get to Ghostface, GZA's Liquid Swords album.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, that was a lyrical genius era, because you had Liquid Swords, you had Illmatic,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
You had Built for Cuban Links, Raekwon's album.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you had Met the Man's The Cow album. Mm-hmm. You had all of this was happening even after that period of the gangster rap era, mm-hmm, because you had the gangster rap era on the West Coast.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre. You know, you had Doggy. You had the Chronic. You had Doggy Style album.
Mm-hmm.
You had
right, then you had Q break off even
exactly,
from that and make his own thing.
Matter of fact, I don't want to go too far without mentioning that. Let's go more into the whole Q and NWA time, because that's what I wanted to get to. I want to get to it from an industry standpoint. Go ahead, Cinema. Go ahead.
One point I want to make is
when
Cube left NWA, he didn't have, because that's NWA on the West Coast, Cube came east for production.
On his EP,
Public Enemy producing Kill at Will. And then you have him building his production team from that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about Cube's first three albums? Those are like listening to like LL and stuff for me.
Cube is
one of the people who shaped me. Because how New York is. While you listen to that Jerry Curl guy, it's like he's dope.
Right.
You know, that's what we used to say, you know?
Yeah.
Y'all sleeping on Cube. I'm giving Cube to my friends, and my friends are like, what? You know, and then because back then you didn't care where it came from.
Right.
As long as it related to you and it was real.
Right.
No.
Well, we would say that NWA, I'm sorry, just a second. NWA is here because of Public Enemy. Is it safe to say that?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd say Cube survived out of post-NWA because of that.
Okay.
Because before that, Dre was handling his business with NWA as far as making beats and stuff.
No, I'm just talking about.
Oh, as far as the lineage, right, because it's an aware thing, because that was the West Coast, because we didn't know what the West Coast went through,
right,
being East Coast guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically, that led the way for them to tell their story, because they were getting harassed by police, and I can't speak for a guy on the West Coast, because I grew up in New York.
East Coast, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And so when we hear, oh, but that's how y'all handle. And then you felt it because it was real.
It was real.
As far as paving the way.
It was different. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
always like that. Someone always paves the way for the next people.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is today they don't recognize that. But I can agree with that statement.
Yeah. Go ahead, Zach Hughes.
Yeah. We're not going to forget the fun time at hip. Well, hip hop, they always try to make it fun with Kid and Play.
Yeah.
Salt and Pepper.
Even Queen
Jeff
Latifah
Red, Queen Latifah,
Houdini.
Yeah, and they tried to also, but De La Soul, they made it fun with them, and Special Ed, and them cats out there, and Craig G, they know the Juice Crew.
Yeah,
you can't forget them about the Juice Crew. Craig Daddy Kane.
Craig G, Cool G Rap, Big Daddy Kane,
Biz Markie.
MC Shan,
and Roxanne Shante. Yeah, they're the ones that made that kind of hip hop kind of like, even with the battle between Karis One and MC Sham, it made it like a, that's a classical battle. They made it hip hop what it is. They made hip hop fun. They made hip hop like, wow, something to pay attention to. They made hip hop in a way where it's like, yeah. Not, people that even back then that was not even hip hop got into hip hop because of all these MCs that I mentioned.
Exactly.
You know, where Kid and Play with the dancing and the movies. Salt and Pepper with their the women power and the music that, you know, let's touch this and, you know, all, you know, yeah. You know, all that stuff.
And it's funny that you mentioned, you know, Kane, because like I said, Queen Latifah to some degree. The reason why I said to some degree, because Queen Latifah was conscious.
Yeah, she was conscious.
But then it was also, there was also the other side to her.
Yes.
Same thing with Kane. Yeah. Kane was conscious as well.
Yeah.
But he was also, he also had kind of like the ladies man kind of thing to him as well.
Yes, you know, same thing with LL. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then LL was a good example.
LL Cool J. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And all those things led to Pac, because Pac was conscious.
Yes, he was
a gangster as well.
That's true.
It's true.
He came out of Digital Underground.
Yeah, he is. So, mm-hmm,
though, he, you could always follow the thread. And then you always ask them who influenced you, who influenced you.
Right.
You can
right.
tell LL who, LL will tell you who influenced them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like today you got songs, you know, that generation, Snoop is making stuff. He made stuff with LL a few years back. He just made something with KRS. You know.
I've yet to hear that yet.
He made something with KRS-One?
KRS-One.
And it's recent. Yeah.
Recently. Wow. This was who? What website put that? Ambrosia.
Ambrosia
for heads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ambrosia for heads. Yeah.
Wow. Also, it's funny that we mentioned Ice Cube. You know, he is making a comeback.
Yeah.
Like no. Like he's working on an album.
Ice Cube.
Yes, he is.
Ice Cube was working on an album.
Yes, he is. Matter of fact, he just released a song, and they said that, look, I have to hear this song because I read the cliff notes on it. They said lyrically, he sounded like the old Cube.
Yeah, he's hungry again because you got to go away from it. It's like when LL did Authentic.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't pick it up, but if you're ahead, it's like you hear the hunger he used to have. Like, and then you hear him having fun on it. You hear him have some stuff, and then he did some innovative stuff like how we used to. You got to be able to grow. And basically, LL did a song with Eddie Van Halen. Killing the guitars. Travis Barker's playing drums all over the album. There's a song with Earth, Wind & Fire horns. Mm. Uncle Charlie Wilson.
Wow.
You know, they're making masterpieces, but they don't care if it sells or not. LL's like on NCIS LA, but he still loves to make the music.
Yeah.
And Same thing with Q. Yeah, that's the
Q
thing.
Got the big three, got his movies. But see, that's what's missing from this generation. They don't really have a hunger. They have a thing like, oh, you know, I'm the dopest. They're not hungry. Some of them are. I can't say that about all of them. That's in a general sense. Because there's people I feel from today, and I ain't going to front on that.
There's some people just want to be artists, just want to get out there and just have girls parade around in their videos, and that's what they want to do.
Right.
I think there's the rock star stereotype. These rappers don't really want to be rappers. They want to be quote unquote the stereotypical rock star, meaning they want to have the women. They want to have the fame. They want to have the flash.
Yes.
But even I will admit that a lot of the legendary rock legends that we have were still talented.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what a lot of these rappers don't understand. You want to be like Kurt Cobain, or you want to be like Axl Rod, or you want to be like
Axl Rose.
You want to be like what's the name?
Oh, Aerosmith, who's been like for decades. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You want to be like
Metallica.
Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Exactly.
Or you want to be Ozzy Osbourne, but then you don't want to put in the work that they did.
You have to,
and you don't want to have the talent they have.
Right.
These guys are musicians. These guys are masters at their craft. They know what they're doing. Mm. You go to a show, you will not be disappointed.
See?
Yeah.
See? Yeah, see?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing is you're going to a show, you're walking across the stage, and just because your people's hype, but your show's nothing. Like when Busta was touring with some of these new guys, and he was putting on an old school show, out showing the new kids, and they were getting mad at him.
They were getting mad to see?
It's the same thing with Method Man, Redman, and a couple of our legends out, Eric Sermon.
Yeah.
These guys do, all right. The thing about a lot of these, about the MCs that we just mentioned just now is that when you pay for a show, you're getting a performance.
Yes.
And it's not, going all out.
It's not just a karaoke night. No, you're actually getting a performance from, yeah. Like, they're MCs, but they're actually performers.
The performers, yeah.
Like, you even get your Big money's
Daddy
worth.
Big Daddy Kane, too.
Big Daddy, you, of
man,
course.
Man, Big Daddy Kane just showmanship. Turned out Philly last year.
Can let me you, tell you something.
Hold on. Hold
He's still
on.
Doing his dance.
Real quick.
Right.
When it comes to, hip-hop and showmanship, yeah. He's definitely somebody you want to watch.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'll even put Kumo D in there too.
Yes.
Exactly.
Kumo D.
I've seen Kumo D perform live.
You know.
Animated.
Yeah. Animated, see?
Like, I'm talking about old footage of him?
Yeah. Yeah, Big Daddy Kane can still do that split.
Big Daddy Kane. Big Daddy Kane can still do the same thing that he could.
Yes.
When he came out when Ain't Gonna Half Steppin'.
I've seen it. Jacob Johnson Center was a few years ago. I seen him. Yeah.
And he's still ripping it. He tears the show down.
Yeah.
He takes pride.
See?
And he kept up his craft.
Yes.
So he could lyrically compete with anybody today.
Yes, he can. Right. Yes.
I stand by that.
Yep.
Can I give you an example of a rock star who lives in L.A., but he's from Britain. Robbie Williams. If you go see Robbie Williams do a show even today, he's going to tear it down.
Yeah.
See?
He tears it down to this day. They got a quote from him. I take pride. Because a guy came on stage and pushed him, and he said, how dare them interrupt your night of fun? Because it wasn't even about him. It was about his crowd. Because he takes pride in being an entertainer.
Mick Jagger too.
Mick Jagger, exactly. Yeah. See,
and see, a lot of these, even LL's still ripping shows.
Yep. Yes.
They take pride in being an entertainer. Entertainers. Run DMC still ripping shows.
Yes,
I think LL gets a little flack for when after he did his before his 13th album, he talked about how at this point of his life, at that point of his life, he didn't mind having 50 ghostwrite for him.
Because he was busy acting. And it really wasn't because of the thing. He got flack for that season, but he said the hunger was gone. Remember, he would have stopped way before that if cannabis wouldn't have sparked something.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
Before
he said it himself.
Right. So let's do this. Let's get back on track. No, we did good. But I just want to go back to what we're saying here. So, we were talking about the eras, right? We were talking about. So, now, let's kind of move up because we talked about the birth.
The birth, okay? Yes.
Yeah.
Then we talked about conscious era. Golden era.
The fun era.
Genius era. We talked about basically that whole golden era was a balance. That's why it's called. The golden era is the golden era because it had everything at one time.
And that too, and I know y'all got to shake my head on this one.
Yeah.
Everybody had a unique voice.
That's true.
Everybody had a uniqueness about them. Everybody was different.
That's true.
That's what made hip hop the golden era, because the MCs coming up from that time were different.
Yeah.
Nobody sounded alike.
Yeah.
Not like today.
Right.
Nobody trying to cop anybody else's style.
Well, you know why? Because the term biting. Around that time, you never wanted to be labeled as a biter.
Right. See? Right. Yeah.
So let's kind of move up a little bit, because then I'm going to hit you.
One thing I want to mention from the golden era
that
a lot of people used to try to diss him, Will Smith, comedy in the golden era.
Exactly. Oh, comedy and hip hop. Well, yes.
Throw Redman in there too.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
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 Now, matter of fact, you got to throw Cube.
Me and Redman. Yes.
Cube in there too.
Yeah.
Cube. Hilarious. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
In the storytelling that Slick Rick started.
You cannot forget about Slick Rick. Oh my God.
Personally, he inspired. Story. Now, personally, even though you're a reggae artist, you are hip hop. Personally, Slick Rick inspired you.
Slick Rick inspired me. You know why Slick Rick inspired me? Because I write stories in my songs. And I said, I always said that Slick Rick, he's an inspiration because his storytelling in his music was phenomenal. I don't think anybody his storytelling in the music is phenomenal, man. I give it up to Slick Rick any day, anytime, man. I mean, Mm-hmm. Yeah, he that was a fun part of hip hop too. As part of it, his storytelling was great.
You know, tragedy, intelligent human, street life,
yeah,
all uh-huh. that storytelling.
Yeah,
Nas got inspired by that storytelling.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And storytelling was a big
Biz
part.
Markie, all of them. Yeah,
right. You mm-hmm. don't have that creativity no more.
No,
where you're telling the story. It's like I'm popping this. I'm doing that.
Yes.
Tell me something.
Tell me a story.
That's gonna, you know, take me somewhere.
Like, we've always had. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah,
that's something other music genres depend on.
Yeah,
a good country song has a story that'll have you in tears.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you know, song that still hits me till today. The song from Ghost. Remember Ghostface? Talk about his life growing up.
Yeah.
All that I got is you.
All I got is you. Yeah. That joint. Yeah. Stuff like that. There's a few, man.
Yeah, that
few
was
MCs,
off of Ghostface's
first album.
Like,
that was fire.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Because now I want to move to a time where the late 90s, early 2000s, you had what Cash Money coined as the bling era.
Bling era.
So now, Cinema, in your opinion, as far as it relates to industry, business-wise, and music content-wise, did the bling era begin the fall of the conscious era?
Much so, because a lot of things changed.
Yeah.
You also can blame a generation gap there.
That's true.
That's where everything splits from generation to generation. And there's a hard split. Even if you go into any hip-hop debate, that's where the split comes, where, you know, I know they'll never be able to relate to what we grew up, you know. So a kid was honest. I can't relate to Nas because, that's not what you grew up in.
Yeah, he couldn't relate, can't relate to Biggie, can't relate to Pac because that's not what he grew up. Right.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Lil Yachty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he said something like that. Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is, I didn't grow up in Stevie Wonder's era, but I listened to him and checked out what he was talking about,
mm-hmm.
even if my sound wasn't like that. That's where the respect ends.
Yes.
And if you don't have respect for the people who built what you're eating off of, it becomes somebody else's. This is the era where you see a lot of people get contracts, build companies, and sell them quick. Drake could make a whole independent empire and then go sign. Really? Wayne could make an empire, then he goes sign. Why are you signing? You're running everything.
Yeah.
Everyone's got, but you signed.
Chance the Rapper.
He won't. He did.
Yeah.
And then anybody who's conscious is signed by somebody who has sense. Where's J. Cole's album on? Rockefeller? Rock Nation? You know?
Right.
You know, look where they're signed if they're conscious.
That's
because
true.
Because these are people who know.
Kendrick is with TDE, but TDE is under Aftermath.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's Dre. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People who know. Okay, we'll let you flood the market with that. All I need is one conscious rapper. He's gonna outsell all of y'all.
Yeah. So real quick, because I do want to get into that. So
yeah.
So let's I actually
let
do
me
what
finish
it, yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Your question.
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of that is because of, you know, not learning production, or you're into this. The ruling on sampling also changed hip hop.
Yep.
I wanna throw that in.
Yeah.
Not that these guys didn't have many options.
Mm.
Because you get caught sampling something, the penalties are higher, even though if you make enough, you can pay it off. But, you know, when you're first starting, you can't get away with that because you're not eating yet like that.
No.
And so a lot of little things came up to that. And so, and then, you know, the little rebellious streak came up. We're going to do it the way we want to because you can't tell me. And it's like, we're trying to tell you, they're trying to set you up, and you're trusting these executives who, you know, an executive, you know, How many executives can change a light bulb? The answer is still to be determined. We don't know yet because these guys don't make the music. They run the company. They're business people, which I respect because I ain't messing with the business side.
Right,
that, y'all do that.
I think that's what happened.
But see, you don't. Artists should be hanging out with artists, not with other people who are telling them how to do their stuff who really don't have a passion for it.
Right.
And so I'm signed. I'm a piece of property now. Right. And so we don't know if this is what these guys are going to do or not because they have clauses in their contract. They say anything negative, they owe money.
Yeah, or they say anything conscious, they owe money.
Same thing.
Same thing.
You know, you have an A&R, you have an image. This is selling, drinking, partying. I'm going to turn it up, you know.
Scantily clad women, they're on your video all the time.
24. Right, and that becomes the standard.
Yeah.
You know, but it's no different. We had Luke in the conscious era. We had Luke parties.
Yes, we did. We had Two Live Crew.
We had Luke battling Dre.
Yeah, I remember the Two Live Crew. It wasn't just that, right?
It was a balance.
It wasn't just that.
Right.
When you take away all the styles, it's like the subgenres. Like you have all the subgenres in R&B. You got the hip hop R&B. You got the old school R&B. You got the Jill Scott progressive. You got neo so. If you take away all the subgenres in hip hop and just leave that, you're not even really left with hip hop.
You're right. Hip hop used to be a full course meal.
Right.
It used to be, I like to use the gumbo metaphor.
Yeah.
You know how gumbo has all kinds of things in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now it's just a side dish.
Yeah.
It's just mashed potatoes.
Exactly. It's coleslaw.
Yeah, exactly. It's coleslaw. We used to have chicken ribs, hamburgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Filet mignon, mac and cheese, fettuccine. We used to have all of that. Now it's just
coleslaw.
It's just coleslaw. It's just okay, it's like we can't have our. It's like we can't have all what we used to have. They're only gonna put out one particular part. That's boring. Do you want to eat? Do you want to eat rice and beans every day?
No. I don't eat no rice and beans every day. True.
Okay, we're gonna want a variety. We're gonna want. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's.
So I mean, so. Question for you, Zacchaeus. Same question. Did the bling era begin the downfall of the just hip hop in general, not just the conscious era?
You know what?
Did it begin the downfall of hip hop?
No, take it away from Cash Money Crew. Nothing like that. No, we're not taking it away from them.
Not be too long,
it's so just long. That the industry, when we saw hip hop, the industry changed. So what they did was they focused on the money, the bling, and the women. They just stayed there. They focused on it and it stayed there. They pushed out the conscious. Conscious was considered now underground now. No more preachers in hip hop anymore. We push it underneath ground. No more storytelling in hip hop. We push it under, that's underground. It's considered underground. And they stayed at the, cause remember, Babylon society. We focus on the money and we focus on the sex, the scantily clad women. So it just focused on the slackness. Now hip hop is just focused on slackness and you know, no taking away from Lil' Kim because when Lil' Kim came with that album when she was sitting squatting and everybody got turned on to that, like, ooh, you know, she look hot. Hey, you'd be like, ooh, yeah, you got hot. You know, and the women, women in hip hop started dressing, you know, they look sexy. You know what I'm talking about, Silver Skate. They're dressing sexy.
Trina, came along.
Yeah, exactly. So when that era, when the bling bling came in, that came in as well. In it too.
That's true.
Yeah, that the scantily clad women and you. Let me tell you something. Well, ain't no women.
Lil Kim was earlier.
So
I think Lil Kim kind of
the female. I remember
it.
at that time.
Lil Kim sparked it.
She sparked it.
Trina, we have Nick. Let's just be real. If we're talking about times, so we had Lil Kim and Foxy.
Yeah.
Then you said Trina.
Yes, Trina.
And then today we have. Nikki.
So at that time, 1998 and on, no women could have come off looking like Heather B in hip hop.
Yo, and she could spit.
Yeah, no woman could have started looking like Heather B or
well, you know,
back in the day, Mooney Love. You know, you can't come up with that. Oh, I'm wearing baggy jeans, I'm spitting. No, you got to dress down. You have to look sexy.
Lauryn Hill represented the revolution, though.
She did. Lauryn Hill. Yeah, big up to Lauryn Hill. She
represented a female revolution in hip hop.
1995. Yeah.
Is that safe to say, Cinema?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because she could sing, real talent.
She was a triple threat, man.
And spit, real talent, you know?
Sing
so,
and acting in movies.
And movies.
Exactly. She was a triple threat,
yeah. So, but
God, the Fugees, yes.
Yeah, Fugees, yeah.
Yeah.
The Fugees, yeah. Yeah. I'll never forget the Fugees. When I first heard the Fugees, I was like, wow. And, you know, and she didn't even have the dress guy to know that she, you know, she don't want, it's like, she's just a lyricist. These, like, when Kim came out, it's like, okay, I gotta see the music video, see what she's wearing and what she look like.
That's a good point about, no, actually, you bring up a good point. Just a second. Let me speak on the Blinger real quick.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, I'm not even going to put all the onus on Cash Money. Per se.
No.
Exactly.
I'm actually not going to blame them.
No.
I'm going to say that fortunately for Cash Money, they came out at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah. For them.
Fortunately for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, for everybody else, no. Because then this is what you had. You had a record label say, I'm going to listen to Cash Money. I'm going to listen to No Limit or any other artists at that time that was known for, I guess, having more so flash than substance. I have to be fair and say that because they had more flash than substance. Big Daddy Kane had flash and substance. Camp Lo had flash and substance. And the one thing about Camp Lo is interesting is that, I mean, Camp Lo, even though they had flash, they were lyrical as heck.
Camp Lo,
Them two brothers right there, they can spit. Like, if we're talking like, I've never heard nobody rap about, I guess you could, not necessarily money, but to rap about, cause flash is not just money. Flash is also style and everything too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when Camp Loads did This Is It, which is one of my favorite hip hop records of all time.
Yeah,
This Is It. What?
You know what I'm saying?
That joint. Yeah. That's, you know, that's a hot joint.
Yes.
You know, the point I'm making is what I just said before. Camp Lo came at a time where there was balance.
Yes.
So I think it's safe to say that people like Camp Lo, Kane, and a couple other artists who did have flash in the early days probably inspired people like Juvenile and BG and all them.
Poor Righteous Teachers.
But I would say, like I said, there was a balance back then. The balance started to shift. But here's the thing. Even though you had the Bling era, you still had DMX at that time. You still had Method Man with his second album. You had Redman with Dox the Name. You still had, there was still something there. In that 99 to 2003, you still had Jay-Z. There was somewhat of a, I'm just saying that that's where the shifting was happening. In 99.
The scale was
moving, but you still had success from DMX. DMX was not flashy at all. You still had Onyx.
Yeah.
Still having somewhat of a success in that early 2000s.
We
Shut Him Down. You still had that. You had Pun.
Pun, Big Pun.
But it was shifting.
It was shifting, yeah.
And now, go ahead, Cinema, because I know you got something to say on that. Go ahead.
Right. And then you had M.O.P. on the edge, but they couldn't get an album out. And so we lost out on that, you know, after that first album. They couldn't get a follow-up out, you know, because it started shifting and you were looking for records and follow-ups for people, but people weren't signing nobody like that no more. They're trying to sign the Flash.
I've heard this,
and that,
man.
And that's the shift. And that's the shift in, that I started not liking, because basically, you had those people, but they were finishing out contracts. Wow. You know,
we're talking. That's the truth.
And how? And who was getting signed to continue that? You had Redman and Method Man about to go independent, which they're still, mm-hmm. Redman's still dropping albums, mm-hmm, and I'm mm-hmm. still getting them.
Yeah.
But they're not mainstream. It's independent now.
He's working on Muddy Waters, too, as we speak.
Wasn't it sometimes some people were just trying to sign the Southern artists? At one time, you had to be from the South to get signed?
Yeah, you're talking about the Crunk era, which was after the Bling era.
After the Bling era, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, that's after this had totally fallen apart.
Yeah.
Because you had people shifting contracts. You had Def Jam, which was about to not push anything from Def Jam, shifting things. You had the beef with LL and Jay-Z about to come up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of things that changed the game, where Jay-Z just went on, I'm going to just get the artist I want, you know? And so basically, You had the independent label era, where a lot of people had success outside of what the main industry was. And then the main industry was just, you know, what we're talking about, hip hop for sale. Mm-hmm. Now we're just putting it out there, you know, like a garage sale, just package out there, put a price tag on it. He looks close enough to a hip hop guy. Just put a tag on him.
Right.
It's not even because of Cash Money, because I listened to Cash Money. It wasn't even their fault.
No,
it's just
not
the industry on the outside looking in determined that was the only thing going on when it wasn't true.
And that goes back to my beginning point when we started this show. I said, when you let those who are outside the culture come in,
right?
But in order for somebody to buy something, it would have to be what? Be offered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the problem. Is that it should have never been. Well, here's my thing. You said earlier, and I got to go to this. You said, if I start something, if I start a business, whether it be a music business, any other business, and I have a family, kids, who am I going to pass it down to? I want to pass it down to them. Is it safe to say that hip hop, even though hip hop, it's like this, hip hop would be the father. And one argument, but then hip hop would be also the kids who have no father.
Right.
That's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Hip hop is like, in one argument, hip hop is the father that gave birth to children, but didn't raise them.
Mm-hmm.
And another argument would be hip hop is from the children, but doesn't have a father. It's almost the same. I basically said the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So
basically to the older heads, hip hop was the father.
Right.
That yes, we never yes, had.
Yes, right. Yes. Right.
And now these kids, it's the father they don't want to be around.
Right. Or it's the father that it's the father that they were told about was who I wouldn't necessarily say abandoned them, but they probably said it wasn't good for them. Or they just wanted to be rebel. Hip hop today, it's like the rebellious child, I guess you could say. That's another argument, too, that hip-hop would be a rebellious child. It doesn't want to listen to the father anymore.
Right, right. Exactly. They want to do their own thing.
They want to do their own thing.
In other words, they want to change the format. They want to change the whole formula. Nothing wrong with trap music, you know. It's just what it is that... You know, when others that don't know nothing about hip hop take over, this is what happens. The whole formula changes, the whole format changes. So the real hip hop heads, they lose the love for it because it's like they don't have the desire to only the true lyricists will continue making music. But it's like you don't have the love for it. It's not even there no more because people still go back and, you know, a lot of big up to WBLS, when they keep playing the Golden Era hip. They have stations that play Golden Era hip hop, you know. And
yeah, shout outs to Chuck Chill Out.
Chuck Chill Out, they still play Golden
and
Era
Red
hip-hop.
Alert because Red Alert, they still keep it going.
Yeah, still keep the Golden Era hip hop going because they realize that this is the essence of hip hop. This is what, and you know, if, and it's cinema kids, do you agree that they need to just like bring it back again, like just bring back, like form a new label and bring back the essence of hip hop. Because I think isn't Nas doing that though?
They are, but the producers have shifted.
Yeah.
A lot of people I respect. I'm not gonna name call because you know I don't do that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people I respect. You know, because, you know, most of those people now, they don't get hype off of music. They're in the machine. They say, I have to stay in producer mode. It's like, I saw somebody I respected say that. And I'm like,
what
you know,
does that mean?
Because I'm like, really? You're one of my biggest influences for hip hop. And so, okay, now I understand how you can make that shifting because that's what's in your mind. I have to keep my pockets fat. I got to get paid. I got to stay a relevant producer. Then you got dudes like Just Blaze. I'm going to produce how I am. And dudes like Beyonce and Jay-Z are coming to him. And, you know, you hear Freedom on Beyonce's track. I said, I know who that producer is just by the sound.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you see what the song's doing. And it's like, every time someone wants to discredit it, a fat producer and a fat track comes out that knocks all this modern stuff off, and everyone feels it.
Mm.
The only problem is that now they don't have – the thing is that they need a machine, a financial machine. That I wouldn't even – let's put it like this. They have a financial machine competing against them. They don't necessarily have a financial machine backing them. Because when something conscious comes out like Kendrick, then, okay, this is a good example. The modern, you mentioned Zacchaeus, you mentioned J. Cole.
Yeah.
And we mentioned Kendrick Lamar. Every time somebody like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar drop something that is influential from a consciousness standpoint, that kind of remind you of an earlier time in hip hop when things were about not only just having fun and listening to good music, but also being informed. You're always going to have those culture vultures on the other side putting up more money to put out a mountain of other artists to drown out that momentum. That's when it makes it hard to compete. But you don't necessarily have to compete with that. You just do what you do, and you have fan base.
I know. We got to big up and respect our Fat Joe and Remy Ma. They're still keeping it. The essence of going from the Bronx going. You know.
You know what? I actually get what you're talking about when you say that.
Yeah.
The reason
he still keeps the style the same. He doesn't change. You know. He don't change. Into trap.
And then events like the Roots Picnic that just happened this weekend. Yeah.
Oh, they need to keep doing those.
And they've been doing
in Philly.
They got to extend it. It's no more.
Talk about this.
Room at the pier. There's no more room at the pier. I couldn't even get a ticket. So they have to expand. Even Black Thought was on his IG talking about they need to expand that. Those events are keeping things alive. And then the Roots Picnic, there's going to be one in New York. They started it last year.
Wow.
And so
you also have here in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival.
Festival, yes. Those are good.
YKRS-One, you know, he didn't really want to make hip hop a religion, but he did that to preserve it when they interviewed him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he said it was really not to make a religion, but to preserve the tenets of hip hop that we've had. So historically, there's a record.
Yeah.
You're talking about, for audience out there, you're talking about the temple of hip hop, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it's not really, you know, he said, I had to set up like that so I can take it to the UN and make it official because it has to be either this or this. So he said, I just chose religion. But the real purpose of it was to make a record of hip hop. After I'm gone, there is a accurate record of hip hop in history.
You know,
and so, you know, there's a lot of things like that. And that's how we keep it alive. And surprisingly, the kids, there are a lot of kids who are producing golden era style stuff that are coming up. And it's like, you know, what's that group out of the other side of the country that Frank Ocean came out of? And those kids from
Odd
there?
Future.
Yeah. And then that whole clique, they got MCs for days.
Yeah.
In that clique.
Tyler, Earl Sweatshirt being probably the best one, maybe. Probably. Yeah. I think Earl Sweatshirt's probably the, I think as far as lyricism, I think he is the best out of that crew, Earl Sweatshirt.
Right. Yeah. And then there's a crew out of Brooklyn I can't remember, and they do everything themselves, and they're deep too. The underground culture, it's starting to come up again. And by keeping these things alive and having festivals and having a place for them to reach, because after a while, that superficial stuff gets tiring. If there's no substance, music gives you substance, culture.
That's right.
And so if I don't feel nothing, I'm probably going to have to create something I feel.
Yeah.
For somebody else to feel.
And it's, you know, a lot of these kids, a lot of young people, they love the trap music and you can see them, but it has no, I don't know, when you talk about substance, when you talk about if you put on, let's say if you put on a mixtape and you have all trap music on it, most of it sound the same. Would you say Fifth?
Most trap, you know what? I wanted to save this for part two, but trap music is the same. It is the same. Yeah. If you listen to, now, Cinema, you was just talking about Frank Ocean's group, right? Odd Future, right?
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the crew you're talking about in Brooklyn. You might be talking about Flatbush Zombies. I'm not sure. But you do have, when it comes to trap music, because I wanted to say this for part two, because we're still going up in the eras. We still haven't touched on the crunk era. You mentioned trap, right? Mm-hmm. Trap music. Trap music has negative things to it, because trap would mean when people say trap, we're talking about that term comes from selling drugs. They call it a trap house, aka stash house.
Mm.
I mean, you know, back in the 90s, it wasn't called trap house.
House club music.
Right.
That's where its source is.
Club music.
And that's the stuff you didn't listen to in your car. You listened to at the club.
At the club, right. Right.
Right.
Now when it comes to the music side, but the term trap is not positive. Right.
Right.
So as far as that, when it comes to not only just the production sound, but also now there's a delivery that is tied to trap music.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get more into that on part two. So we're going to have to wrap it up. We'll explain what's going to happen. I want everybody to listen to what I'm saying. Mr. Z and Fifth will go on a break. Because me, Zacchaeus, and Cinema Escapes have a new podcast coming out called the Round Circle Podcast. That podcast will be the central focus on that will be more so about music.
Mm-hmm.
I guess primarily what we do is more of a gospel sound. Okay. Just for those who know us, you know, we hip hop, reggae, everything. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is make that show more music based, more about music. So we're going to talk about the Christian hip hop community. We're going to talk about the industry. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about other topics as well. Not just music, but I would say mainly geared towards the music part.
Mm-hmm.
The Round Circle Podcast is more of a niche market type of podcast. I think people are going to enjoy that for the content they want to hear.
Yes, okay? Yes.
So this episode of Mr. Z and Fifth Hip Hop for Sale will have a part two. Part two will be on the Round Circle Podcast, which will premiere a week after this episode airs, which will be, June 11th is, what's next? Look at my calendar. What am I talking about? I'm right on the computer and I ain't looking. Here we go. So June 12th is when this episode, it'll be 12th by the time people listen to this, but June 19th is when the Round Circle Podcast will premiere. That will be on my, that will still continue on Audio Mac and YouTube. That'll still be there. Soon, Mr. Z and Fifth will be on iTunes
Very soon.
It costs money to get there, so that'll be there.
It'll be there, yeah.
The round circle will make its way there someday, too, as well. But for now, Audio Mac and YouTube is where you can catch Mr. Z and Fifth, and when the new podcast premieres, the round circle. So we're going to do the round circle podcast in the meantime before Mr. Z and Fifth comes back. So Mr. Z and Fifth will be back in another 10 to 12 weeks. Okay. But within that time, we'll have the Round Circle podcast. I think people will love that.
Yep.
We have day jobs, so we have to find time to do this. You know, we're not getting paid exactly from this yet. So we have to kind of space it out like that. We have to do Mr. Z and Fifth, and then we have to do the Round Circle in between Mr. Z and Fifth.
Yes,
we can't really do two at once yet. Mm-hmm. But we thank those who listen. So I just had to say that real quick before we close out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, our brother CinemaScape, so it'll be me, Fifth General, Zach Kears, and CinemaScape
on
the Round Circle podcast. We had CinemaScape on the show to introduce him, just so you can get ready for the Round Circle podcast. And we're glad to have him, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun with the Round Circle podcast. I've been waiting for this moment to do this.
Yeah.
Finally, you'll have the three of us doing this for those who know us as the Gathering Crew. Mm-hmm. The three of us actually doing this show together. I'm gonna be very happy with that. The future of the Round Circle, I'll say right now.
Yeah.
We'll start out as a podcast, but we want to make that a live show someday.
Someday, yeah. We're working on it. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
That's the intention of the Round Circle podcast. Mm-hmm. It's going to grow from there.
Yes.
Mrs. Ian Fifth, we're very comfortable with keeping it a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable with that. But the Round Circle, we definitely want to put that on a big level.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and I'm going to let you, Zach, here start it off. I'll go second. I'll let our guest have the last word.
Okay, cool.
So, what would be your closing statement on this episode as far as everything that we talked about today on Hip Hop for Sale?
I think hip hop, the state of hip hop, needs to be reflected on, because it's a lot of people. We have voices now. We're blessed to have a show like this, so we can express how we feel about the industry. And I will say that people that even coming up now in hip hop, that just if you don't follow the trend. I tell people that never follow the trend. Always stay true to your heart. If you have a love for the music, stay true to yourself, stay true to hip hop and everything. Never try to follow the trend, because people could actually hear if you're trying to sound like somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, always be yourself. And big up to the artists that's keep it original. Keep it original. Keep it the same. Keep their style and consistently having the style. Tell them quality. You know, I'm just to name a few of them. J. Cole. Who else? You know, Fat Joe, Kendrick Lamar. Just to name a few that keeps it going. It keeps it going. You know, eventually we reflect on the holy hip hop artists too. But we just want to reflect on artists that keep it, to keep the Nas, to keep the essence of hip hop going. And they, you know, in other words, they don't water it down. They don't try to sound like anybody else, but just keep it real to themselves. So, in my conclusion, this is Mr. Z.
All right. So, here's what I got to say. There's gonna be some things I'll hold back for part two. So, my situation is this. I grew up, I was born into hip hop. I was born 87. So I was born after hip hop was created. For me, hip hop is my jazz. For me. You know, hip hop is my jazz. Hip hop is my early inception as far as a genre and a culture that I hold hold very deeply. Okay. To my heart. I believe I was born to do this, okay? Whether it be to do it, speak on it, I wouldn't say that I'm an authority on it, but I do believe that I have a lot of things to contribute to the culture, okay? Also, from a community standpoint, I don't like the pattern that I see when it comes to music being created by people of melanin. The issue that we have is that we have a lot of fun in creating and letting people hear our craft. We also love to share because it's in our DNA. We are very sharing people. That is historical. We're very sharing people. We're very inviting people. We like to invite people in. The thing is, when it comes to the preservation of it, it's okay to let people in. I don't have a problem with that. But just make sure that the house that you've built, that you let people in, understand that they are still guests in your house. And your house should remain your house. And anybody who's a guest in your house should respect your house.
Exactly.
And that's about as brief as I'm going to keep it because I want to save it more for part two. CinemaScapes, you have the last word. Take as much time as you need.
Basically, if you're going to invest in it, in hip hop, you need to know if you're down for the art or down for the money from the beginning.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
If you don't know, if you're coming in and you're just filling it out, Dave Chappelle talks about something his dad told him, and this is a paraphrase because I don't have the quote in front of me, about how, you know, if you have a price, they'll eventually pay it for you to compromise. And if you don't have a price, they can't do it. And that's a bad paraphrase of it, but basically it was the reason why he was able to walk away from that deal because he didn't feel right about it. And the man made more than that contract was going to give him in two specials recently for Netflix, doing what he wants to do. And that road, you'll get the same thing. Going both roads. One will be harder because when you don't compromise, it's going to be harder and it's going to be more work. But the other roads, you're going to sell yourself and you're going to lose ultimately who you are. You won't get to create the art the way you want to, what you have inside of you. So as an artist, that's up to you. If you want to be an industry guy, that's fine. That is for some people. Some people enjoy that. But if you really feel you have something to say, you got to really look at it and not sell yourself short. It may be more work. Independent work is hard.
Yes.
I'm not even going to play with that. You're working a job and you're trying to do stuff where people are sitting up there. They got a contract. They got a studio budget. They're sitting up there being creative. You're coming home tired having to create, trying to do things. Because you're working around all everything in your life. But it's up to you what you want. You know, a lot of the times, the legacy you leave, you'll never get to see it. So that's up to you. You know, are you going to, you know, hip hop's going to be on sale. But is hip hop for sale or is your commitment in hip hop for sale?
Wow.
And that's all, you know. And that's a personal decision. And I'm not knocking anybody who need to make money or anything like that. Because, you know, it's your choice. Some people choose the road. And if some people choose the other road to be real to themselves, you can't knock them either. It's either or. So if you're going to go that road, go your road. And we all have to choose what road we want to take.
That's great. All right. We're going to get up out of here. Real quick, Zacchaeus, talk about your book.
Yeah, yo, book is on sale right now. It's available right now on a soft copy available on Amazon. Just go to Wayne Backus, WayneBackus on Amazon.com. You can get my book called A Bad Man, A Thug, and a Gangster. Good book, is a good read for the summer. It takes back in the 80s and 90s, that era. And, you know, and it goes as an action drama, and I don't want to tell you the whole story, but just go get the book. It's available on Amazon right now. It'll be available on Barnes & Noble very soon, on iPlay and Google Play and all that good stuff. You know, so I'll let you know more on that. But go get Gold Cup. It's available on Amazon right now. Go get that copy. Also available is our Me and Fifth album, called The Example.
Right. So yeah. Yeah, and the Fifth General, The Example.
Yeah, you can get that available on iTunes, Napster. It's available everywhere. If you just type in Zacchaeus and the Fifth General, it's available everywhere, man, right now.
All right, Cinema. So tell them where they can reach you, and if you have anything you want to promote, go ahead.
You can hit me on Cinemascapes on IG, Cinemascapes on, I have a Facebook page, Cinemascapes on Twitter. Basically, working on the hip hop album. I have gospel music albums out under my real name, Shamik Jones, Jones. Mm-hmm. Set Me Free from myself and Just Dirt, The Chronicles of a Hell School Dropout, and also a nice instrumental album called Hands On. Mm. So you can search that. It's on iTunes, Google Play, everywhere. And so Shamik Jones, Shamik Jones, you know, everyone knows how to spell Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And that's available everywhere. And so whether you know, and these are like multi-genre albums because, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have to make those independent nowadays.
Right, exactly. Zacchaeus, where can they reach you?
You can reach me on Wayne Backus at Bean Backus 2 on Twitter. You can reach me on Instagram, Zacchaeus, ZacchaeusB73. You can also reach me on Facebook under Wayne Backus, WayneBackus.
All right. And as for me, you can reach me at The Fifth General on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. That's simple. All right, so we're going to get out of here. Catch us, part two of Hip Hop for Sale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like I said, June 19th, the premiere of the Round Circle Podcast, part two, with The Fifth General, Zacchaeus, and mm-hmm. Cinemascapes.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we're going to get out of here. This was another edition of Mr. Z and Fifth with your host,
Mr. Z
and Fifth. Mm-hmm. And shout-outs to our guest, Cinemascapes.
Yes, sir.
We're going to see y'all next time. Peace.
Peace. Peace.